Hi, everyone. Welcome to Retro Rewatch. I'm Jeff Gamut with Patrice Brennemore. Patrice, how are you?
I'm doing well. We have something very special for you today.
We do. We have a crossover episode. Mm-hmm. We recently, the two of us, but just by chance, the two of us, recorded an episode of The Big Show on the British Tech Network that we feel really fits in with what we do here on Retro Rewatch.
Yes.
So we want to share that with you today.
Yeah, I mean, it's a Summer of Fun episode, and it's, of course, very appropriate. It's about TV shows. I mean, a different genre. Once again, we said no sci-fi. But we thought you would enjoy this. So here it is.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Big Show. I'm Jeff Gamut. I'm your interim host, sitting in for Ewan Rankin. And as you can see, there are two of us here today. Patrice, how are you?
I'm doing well. I'm like, yeah, it's just the two of us. Just the two of us.
Making castles in the sand.
Yes, we got off track right away. No, I'm good. I'm ready for my vacation, I have to say. I'm just done. I'm just exhausted. Came back from Portugal last weekend, like Sunday morning at like 1 a.m. or something. I was back at home. Big business trip, summer party on Friday, which was great. Like, little house in the middle of nowhere, like, I want to say 30 minutes from Lisbon. Like a pool and tons of good food and nice people, and it was hot, but it was nice. It was cool.
It's awesome.
So, but I was exhausted, so. Yeah, but I was flying on Sunday, so that was good. Good weekend.
Nice.
Yeah, I managed to land multiple times, actually 16 times, plus I think two that we aborted. Well, I aborted.
Okay, and just for clarification, this isn't on the flight that you took back from
Lisbon. No, no. It's like, oh yeah, we tried 16 times to land because the pilot was like, oh yeah, Patrice can do that. I'm like, no, that doesn't happen. No. Just me and my flight instructor and a really, really small plane. Yeah, but it was fun.
Awesome.
I enjoyed doing it.
Well, since just the two of us, excuse me, making castles in the sand, and we are in Summer of Fun, it's probably a pretty safe bet that we're going to end up talking about TV shows.
Yes.
In some fashion.
Yes. But we should introduce you. Like, how are you?
Oh, right.
We just jumped.
Yeah, well, I mean, what really matters is your welfare.
Okay, okay. Thank you.
So, yeah, I'm doing fine. Still plugging along. And for those of you that are following on social media, the bird nest that I found. Well, first, my photos started getting better when I remembered I have a selfie stick. And so I could just put my phone on the end of that and hold the stick up high and aim it down at the nest. And that's when I started getting much better photos. And the little baby birds, their eyes aren't open yet, but they're there. And mom and dad are busy out getting food for them all the time. I will share one sad bit. Yesterday, as I went by the nest, I saw one of the birds on the ground, one of the babies on the ground, and I was going to put it back in the nest, and then I realized, without going into any additional detail, that this bird was out of the nest because it had died. So there's, I believe, three healthy babies in the nest now.
Yeah, I mean, that's unfortunately, that's life.
It is, and yeah. And the fact that three of the four birds are still there and seem to be doing well. That's remarkably good for nature.
Yeah. When you said eyes open, I was thinking, Shaka, his eyes open.
Jeff, when the bird fell.
Jeff, when the bird fell. That's so good. People are like, what the hell are they talking about?
Except for the people that know.
Mm-hmm,
yeah. And they're thinking, I'm going to go to Tanagra. Yeah.
Wasn't it Tanagra 3?
I don't remember. No, it was... was it Shaka and Jalad at Tanagra?
Oh, yeah, yeah, you're right. Yeah, yeah, you're right. Yes.
And then Shaka, when the walls fell.
When the walls fell, yeah. But we're not talking Star Trek.
Not today. No, we're not. So what did we decide to discuss, Patrice?
Yeah, I mean, we kind of circled around ideas for Samurai Fun. We thought, hey, I mean, it's Jeff and me, so of course we're going to talk about TV shows, but we said no sci-fi. Because...
Right, which sounds like a great self-imposed restriction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we usually always talk. I mean, we just did it. Like, we always talk sci-fi. Like, we always come back to it.
You're right. It just happens.
It just happens. So we thought we should tackle a different kind of genre. And sitcoms was the one that we picked. And we thought it would be an interesting thing to talk about, and we will probably mention our favorite sitcoms anyway, but we were thinking, you know, sitcoms have changed quite a bit, and I'm actually personally hard-pressed to think of any modern sitcoms these days. Like, I don't think sitcoms are a thing anymore in 2025, and that's the... That's the thing I'm posing today. It's like, why are they not a thing anymore? Is that true? And how have they changed since the heyday was in the kind of in the 90s and like early 2000s at least. Like, how have they changed since then?
Yeah, it's, well, the evolution of sitcoms, it's not something I'd really thought a lot about, but when she brought it up, immediately my mind started racing.
Yeah.
And if you go way back, we had a big change in the world of sitcom when I'm talking way back when we got shows like I Love Lucy, where they were doing a two camera.
Yeah. I mean, the old school two camera sitcom. I mean, it turned into three cameras at some point in the 90s, but yeah, it was two cameras before that, basically, the standard.
Right. Filmed before a live audience, a studio audience.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And, and so we had that evolution, and then sitcoms became more like a movie production thing where there was a high level of production. No live audience, typically not a live audience. Am I projecting?
I think you're projecting. I think until maybe fairly recently, most sitcoms still had a live audience. Not all of them, and there were some that didn't, but a lot of them, and I think a lot of the more successful ones were still doing that.
Okay. Well, then the next question for me is, how do you define a sitcom?
That is a good question.
Is that different from a comedy TV show? Like Dead Like Me? Or what was the other one? Pushing Up Daisies?
Yeah.
Scrubs? Those are comedies. They were comedy TV shows. Are they also sitcoms?
That is, I mean, there is probably a line. I'm thinking, like, is Scrubs a sitcom? I think no. I think it's a medical comedy. But there's, it probably is somewhere in the gray area, so I would assume. Yeah, I don't know what the official, like, is there an official definition of what a sitcom is? Probably someone came up. I asked Perplexity. I'm still in research mode. I should switch away from that. I asked it. It's like, okay, What is this definition of a sitcom? A sitcom is a type of television comedy series that centers on a recurring cast of characters as they navigate humorous situations within a consistent setting. The term sitcom is run for situation comedy or situation comedy, which reflects the genre's focus on humor derived from everyday situations and character interactions. Yeah, so Scrubs could be considered a sitcom. Don't know what this officially is, but it could be. It often has a three-act format, like sometimes with a cold opener. Yeah, multi-camera settings most of the time. Like, as you said, we did the... I mean, they've been one-camera sitcoms for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Yeah, okay. So then in that case, Cheers qualifies as a sitcom.
Cheers definitely does qualify as a sitcom. Yeah. I asked also like to give me a list of like 30 sitcoms. It was on the list actually. Yeah. But I mean, The Simpsons, for example, I was surprised. Like apparently The Simpsons are the longest running American sitcom.
Huh. I never would have considered
Yeah.
Simpsons but, a sitcom.
But it kind of is. It's not maybe not in a very traditional sense. Because it's as we just talked about it. It's usually like humans in front of a camera or it's three in like all day situations, but it kind of still is. I mean it is a comedy, it is about the situations. I mean it's a family living together, right? And city, right. Basically. So in that sense, it still is kind of How I Met Your Mother or Parks and Recreation, for example, is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or Big Bang Theory, one of my favorite sitcoms of all times.
I have only just recently started watching Big Bang
Theory. Wow.
I want to say like 5 episodes into the show.
Okay. You're missing out. But we know that about you. We know that about you. You seem to be not watching the things you should be watching, I guess. You know.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's on me.
That's on you. Yeah, but it's like, it is, as I said, I think it's tough to define what a sitcom exactly is. I think you know it when you see it, mostly. I mean, okay. What people find...
in the middle, sitcom.
Yes. What people find funny is, like, different. What you find funny is probably different than what I find funny. So a sitcom is that mm-hmm. way, like different sitcoms for different people. Yeah, Malcolm in the Middle for sure is one.
Okay, so The Good Place, which to me was not a sitcom.
I wouldn't say that is a sitcom.
Okay, so I got one right.
Yeah, I mean, people will probably disagree with us, but I would say that is not a sitcom. It's
so,
like
all right.
I'm thinking of other good examples. Yeah, I mean,
so The Office,
for sure. The Office and the West
American
Wing.
American Office
and The West Wing.
And The West Wing. Okay.
I mean, The West Wing is debatable, actually. The Office, I can see. The West Wing is debatable. Is that a political comedy or a sitcom? I mean, it's. In a way, it is like The Office, but in the White House. or in the West Wing of the White House, actually.
Okay.
But I would say that's debatable if that is a sitcom still, because it's too much about the politics and like stuff going on there. I mean, you wouldn't say that House of Cards is a sitcom, for example, even though it does have some funny moments.
I haven't watched that one either. I haven't watched Veep.
Oh, Veep is also a gray area for me. I'm not sure. It is quite funny. It is a lot of about the situation, but it's also about politics. I'm like, I wouldn't say that is a sitcom. And not because of politics, but because of it's a topic, basically. It's not a situation. They're working like The Office. Like The Office is not about what they're actually working on, right? the company or what the company is doing, whatever. It's more about the inter-office relationships and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a sitcom. But Veep is a lot about also the position of a vice president and kind of that whole topic. And that for me is less a sitcom than... than others.
Okay, so here's what I'm kind of picking up mm-hmm. on from what we're both saying.
Mm-hmm.
It's that there's been this formula for what constitutes a sitcom, but mm-hmm. that's been evolving over time.
Yes,
and I'm sure part of that is because of the way production has changed over the years.
Yes.
Some of that is probably because of what's considered acceptable or not at any yes. given time.
Mm-hmm.
For example, All in the Family is a brilliant sitcom
mm-hmm.
that I don't think could be made today on broadcast television.
Yeah.
Because probably not. The purpose of All in the Family, I get a lot of people mm-hmm. missed what the purpose was and thought yeah. it was just, let's make racist and sexist jokes. It was holding a lens or a mirror mm-hmm. up to society in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And it was calling out all of these problems. And it was using humor to get away with being able to put all of this right back in our faces.
Mm-hmm.
And show where we were having major social issues, well, still are, in the United States. And I don't think you could make a show like that on broadcast television today. It would be like, I don't know if a studio would sign on to make Blazing Saddles today.
Probably not. But yeah, but I think you're getting at a different point in general. Because you talk about broadcast television, and I mean, how important is broadcast television these days? It's still there. It's not that it has died, but it's like it is getting less and less important. I mean, it used to be. I mean, there was only broadcast, right? I mean, before the mid-2000s when like YouTube and stuff started to appear, that was it. Like, you had however many channels, hundreds and thousands at some point. Like, early on, it was a couple, like, she won, and then a couple, and then, yeah, it exploded. But it's basically, you would meet at, whatever, 8 p.m., 7 p.m., 10 p.m., whatever show, midnight, whatever show you were watching. Mm-hmm. actually, another thing, late-night comedy. Like, the late-night shows are also kind of a dying breed. For that's probably the same reason. But, like, you would meet up and watch the show together. You would meet up and watch, Golden Girls, for example. Or Fresh Prince of Bel-Air is also a good example for a sitcom. You would meet up, I mean, I remember 90s, like, sitting there with my friends and watching it.
Yeah, and, you know, bringing up Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, it's a lot of people saw it as the silly Will Smith show.
Mm-hmm, but
it
was not.
And they weren't, no, I mean, it was a very powerful social commentary.
Yes.
And it was a show that opened doors for actors mm-hmm. in ways that weren't available to them previously to Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Not as much, yeah. I mean, I rewatched it recently. I mean, I watched the modern version, but I rewatched also the original because I still like it. And you would be surprised how many faces you recognize on that show. I mean, aside from Will Smith, mm-hmm. of course. And the main cast, but there's so many guest stars that you will recognize and be like, oh, that person wasn't on Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Like, yeah, you're mm-hmm. right. It opened doors. It also allowed to, I mean, it was like, I think comedy has always been a way to also criticize societies and criticize things that are happening in a mm-hmm. way that is not threatening.
Yeah, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air did that as well. Lots of commentary on racism,
mm-hmm.
which makes sense considering this was a show about black people.
Yeah.
And they did a fantastic episode mm-hmm. about police brutality. Actually, I think they did more than one about police brutality.
Oh, they did actually quite a few episodes about that because it does come up. MASH is actually another one like that. Less about racism and all of that, but about like war and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But also is considered, and I think rightly so, a sitcom.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the very early ones, but...
It's okay. Interesting side note about MASH. In the United States, the networks and studio had so little faith in the intelligence of the U.S. audience that they added laugh tracks to the show so people knew where it was supposed to be funny. Yes. Outside the United States, there's no laugh track. And they the laugh track, if you ever have the opportunity to watch MASH without the laugh tracks, it is a markedly better program. I mean, it's a brilliant show that in the United States is marred by the fact that someone put laugh tracks into it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's rare, to be honest, but it's also, kind of makes sense. Yeah, but it's like the point I wanted to get to is like we were meeting up and watching, and I mean, as I said, it was linear TV, right? It's like you sit down and you watch it, and yes, there's ad breaks where you can go grab something from the fridge or whatever, but you can't pause or you can't binge a show or whatever. Like, I mean, maybe with the exception, there were some channels that were basically whatever doing 24/7 sci-fi at some point, and you could just keep watching, and you would keep watching Star Trek.
And the show
shows
would come up again. Yeah.
Yeah, stuff like that. So there were some channels later on. But yeah, it was still like you're sitting down, you're watching it. I think in that context, sitcoms worked really well because they're like one off 30 minutes often episodes, 20, 30 minutes you can watch, have some fun, and then go do something else or watch something else. Like maybe there's another show coming after it that's also interesting for you. So it was kind of a family gets together or friends get together and watch it. And these days, it's streaming, right? I mean, it's not you're waiting for the show; it's streaming. You can pick and choose what you want to watch. And I think that has a factor.
You know, I think you're right, and I think. Now that you've brought this up and you're making me think yet again, looking back, I can see where the way I consumed and experienced sitcoms changed with the advent of TiVo.
Yeah.
Because then I could record my shows and watch them when I wanted. It stopped being an event. At least in the same way.
Yeah, it did. It did. You're right. It's, I mean, TV shows are still events. I mean, we're to bring up sci-fi again, because that's what we do. We're very excited about Star Trek Strange New Worlds right now, and it is an event that people talk about. So in a little way, it is like that. Everybody in the world is watching it. But not at the same time.
Right.
Yeah. I mean,
well,
less
as we record, there's a new episode of Strange New Worlds.
Oh, is there? Yeah,
I haven't watched it. It's Thursday.
Okay, I haven't watched it yet. See?
Okay. Patrice, you just nailed something that I see as a problem for the whole communal watching a show and then talking about it the next day thing. And it is a streaming thing.
Yeah, you can choose.
You didn't realize that New Strange New Worlds was out. For me, when Netflix started doing the thing where they drop an entire series at once, I mean, I really liked that. Even if I didn't binge the show, I liked it because I could watch a series.
Yeah.
When you do the thing where you release an episode once a week, now it puts me back into a mindset that I can't seem to get into that I remember from my childhood, which is you had to know which day and what time each of the shows you went to watch happens.
And but different.
And I end up missing out on shows or forgetting to get back to them now.
Yeah.
Because
I have that problem.
They're
too.
On that schedule.
But other people didn't have that. I mean, I think that's maybe a problem that we have more than a lot of other people. I mean, it's also different these days, right? Because, I mean, what did I just say? I said I haven't watched it yet. That wouldn't have been a thing. Because either you watched it or you missed it. I mean, maybe there was a rerun right. if you were lucky, but but mostly you watched it on whatever, Wednesday at 8, or you missed it. There was no, oh, I'm going to watch it later. I mean, unless you had then TiVo at some point. But before then, I mean, it's like you watch it at 8 and 8 sharp or you don't. So you should probably make sure you are at the TV when it comes on.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, we had VCRs, to be fair. Like, there were ways at some point to do it, but, like, I mean, who could afford that? Or, like, your parents wanted to record something else. So you couldn't. Right. You either watched your show or you didn't.
The whole thing with being able to really time shift when mm-hmm. you watch shows, I think that started with TiVo. Even though you could do that, as you pointed out, with VCR.
Yeah.
It wasn't as practical as it was when TiVo happened.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, but I mean, these days it's like, I mean, we can, let's say we both know the Strange New Worlds is coming out, what was it? Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Thursday morning, I think, something like that. We still watch it at different times.
Right. Yes. I debated if I would have time to watch mm-hmm. Strange New Worlds before recording mm-hmm. the big show today.
Mm-hmm.
I did not.
I didn't either. So I think that's the thing. Like, it used to be everybody was more or less watching it at the same time mm-hmm. in the United States or / in Germany, whatever. I mean, that was definitely a thing.
Wherever you were.
I mean, it's like that was definitely a thing that shows would come out months and sometimes years later in Europe because of they had to be dubbed and marketed and sold to another network and all of that. So it took years sometimes mm-hmm. before we even got the show in Europe. But either way...
Sure. I'm totally interrupting and I apologize. But I'm suddenly like mm-hmm. really curious because you said the thing about in Europe you would see shows months or years later.
Yeah.
Did you ever get WKRP in Cincinnati in Europe? And I'm asking because there's the whole dialogue dubbing, but then there's the whole licensing of music.
Nope, never did.
Wow.
That was actually a problem, yeah. I mean, licensing of music usually was fine, but I know a few instances where they even had to change the music because for some reason they couldn't get the rights for Germany for that. Or it wasn't appropriate, also has happened.
Oh, sure. Yeah. there. I know with WKRP, there was a thing with the way they did the music licensing
mm-hmm.
where the licensing didn't include future runs of the show.
Oh, okay.
So when it went into rerun syndication,
mm-hmm.
the songs that you hear them playing in most cases were not the songs that were originally aired. And I heard a while ago they're doing a thing with it where they've been working on the licensing
mm-hmm.
so they can show them as they originally were.
Yeah. I know a bunch of shows that have that problem, including Scrubs. I listened to Fake Doctors, Real Friends, and they talked about it. That's in a lot of cases the episode you get today is not exactly the episode you got to watch back then. Because of the music. Because they did only have the license for that network, for that show. And when it went mm-hmm. to streaming, they didn't have the license for it, so they had to replace it. So sometimes, and the songs were picked for a reason, usually. So
right.
It was like, okay, what do we do? And they had to replace it. So, yeah, that does happen. And I'm sure there's probably tons of examples where I don't even know that the show had a different soundtrack in Germany. Said I used to watch everything dubbed because back then, I mean, I didn't speak English well enough to do that or not at all when I was like really young. So, mm-hmm. yeah. yeah, it's like that is a thing. Yeah. Anyway, I mean, sitcoms these days, do you see any current day sitcoms? Does anything come to mind? Because for me, it doesn't. I can't, like, I don't think there is anything. There's still some comedy shows, but no sitcoms.
No, I mean, The Simpsons is still running. So
okay, technically, okay, that's try, one. Sure. They just never stopped, but there's no new, completely new shows, as far as
off
I know.
Off the top of my head, I let me do a search real quick, see if there is anything.
I mean, even Brooklyn Nine-Nine started a long time ago. Like, most shows that maybe are still around or just stopped were from the late 2000s.
Let's see. My search is bringing up comedy series.
Mm-hmm.
Even
those are super rare, to be honest, but there is still some. I mean, some comedians are still around, and like the whatever. What was the guy's name? David Chappelle, I think, was one that was more popular.
Dave Chappelle. Ghosts? Never heard of it. Abbott Elementary.
Heard of that one. Okay.
Young Sheldon.
Which technically is only a continuation of Big Bang Theory.
But yes. Okay. Kind so of. Spin-off. Of Big Bang Theory.
Yeah.
The Neighborhood.
Okay.
Huh. I hadn't heard of it, but that one stars Cedric the Entertainer. I didn't know he was still...
still doing something. But I think, I don't... As I said, I think it's still the point holds. I mean, there is basically very little, and the fact that we don't even know anything off the top of our heads kind of tells you. Because, I mean, there was a time in said the 90s especially, but also like the 2000s, where they were everywhere. Like half of the shows were probably sitcoms. The popular ones. About
Night Court.
Which heard of it.
So the original Night Court was brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was revived.
Yeah.
With a couple people from the original cast.
Yeah.
But it's already been canceled. So I don't know if it ran like multiple seasons or a season, part of a season.
Mm-hmm. But I also think those examples are different. I mean, they redid Prince of Bel-Air. Actually quite, not as good as the original, but quite well, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also, it's the same, it's not new, and it's, I think it's mostly for people who already love the original. And I think the same for Young Sheldon. I mean, the people who already loved Big Bang Theory would be interested in Young Sheldon.
And I've had no interest in Young Sheldon, but as we have established, I've only seen a handful of episodes so far.
Makes sense.
Of Big Bang Theory. Yeah.
And to be fair, not everybody who liked Big Bang Theory likes Young Sheldon. So it's just more, it's connected simply. So for me, that's different than like the heydays where there was like a new sitcom like every second day. Like they were just popping up. I mean, there's like, said Brooklyn Nine-Nine or what was the one with, I mean, Seinfeld, of course, and Cheers, for example, Friends. Which one was it? The other one I was thinking of.
I never watched Friends.
I've seen watched a handful it once, of scenes. I was like, okay. What was the other one? Huh. The Cosby Show. That was the one I was thinking about. The Cosby Show. Also one. Like, is it every it felt like every 5 seconds there was a new, completely different-ish kind of sitcom. I mean, in a way, they were all similar.
Mm-hmm.
Usually not very deep. Some of them were, but most of them not. It's not what it's about. But as I said, I think comedy in general is a little bit in a downturn right now. And I don't know why that is, to be honest. It's not that it doesn't exist anymore, but it's like the big comedians, the super successful, big, massive comedians, there isn't that many around. There's a lot of smaller ones that you know of. I mean, the late night, what we just talked about earlier, the late night TV. The late night shows, right? The Late Show, the Colbert Report, the all of that. It's all kind of disappearing.
Well, and yeah, in a big way. Yeah. And then before that, we also had the late night comedy shows. Mm-hmm. Saturday Night Live is still the one that's here.
I think that's the only one almost that's here still.
Right. Mad TV is mm-hmm. gone.
Yeah. Remember that. Little Britain. What was the one?
Little Britain.
Little Britain.
yeah. Second City TV.
Mm-hmm.
They was theirs actually called Second City TV?
I think I don't remember. So, yeah. I think so. At least anyhow, it rings a bell.
Kids in the Hall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's I said it's just interesting to me that in this era of streaming and of course YouTube and TikTok and Instagram and Facebook and all of that, those classical formats, I said comedy shows, sitcoms, late night shows, late night comedy, all of that, they're kind of step by step disappearing because they worked best in a like linear TV format. I mean, look at it. Even at Jimmy Kimmel, for example, who is relatively good at doing like stuff online and YouTube, whatever, struggling. Because the big productions just aren't worth it anymore if you're competing against someone in their whatever in their living room. They can publish mm-hmm. stuff on YouTube and be successful with it.
That's interesting. I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah. I mean their numbers and their budgets. I mean the budgets went up a little bit because stuff is more expensive these days. But their numbers have been dwindling.
Mm-hmm.
Because yeah. There's really good comedy on YouTube. Actually, yeah, I don't know if there is a lot of comedy these days. There used to be in the 2010s a lot of good comedy on YouTube.
The comedy that I'm seeing most often, where it fits kind of into this style, mm-hmm. On YouTube and similar services,
mm-hmm.
it's like College Humor.
Mm-hmm.
They do some interesting not like full sitcom length stuff, but yeah. longer form than you typically have on social media.
Mm-hmm.
And they're doing some edgy, funny stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I was just thinking of The Annoying Orange, for example.
Uh-huh.
There's a couple of big YouTubers that are more comedy related, so it's not. But it's I also think that is even that is disappearing a little bit. At least that's my feeling. I mean, I don't think comedy went away. It just changed. How we're consuming it, how it's produced, where it is. I mean, these days there's a lot of comedy on TikTok, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Tons of funny stuff. There's a lot of comedy in air quotes on Instagram or in Reels.
Mm-hmm.
Comedy in the very wide sense in some cases. It's funny sometimes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, funny is always subjective.
That anyway, yeah. But it's also like some of it is quite low quality. But the mm-hmm. what I mean is the traditional comedy that we're used to, the big comedians that would have stage shows and TV shows and whatever, like 5-6 days a week sometimes. The late night comedians, I said, except for SNL and a couple movies here and there, it's not a lot.
Okay, you just brought up movies.
Mm-hmm.
I'm watching, haven't seen the movie yet, but mm-hmm. I'm watching with interest what happens with the new Naked Gun movie starring Liam Neeson.
Yes.
Because it's a reboot of the Naked Gun series where Liam Neeson played the bumbling cop detective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've seen the trailer. No, Leslie Nielsen.
Leslie Nielsen.
Yes.
There we go.
Liam Neeson. Yes. Yeah, and similar Liam enough.
Neeson. Yeah. Huh, that's funny. Yeah, he's playing that character's son.
Yeah.
Who is
kind of the same character.
It's the same thing. It's just recasting the character.
Yeah.
And the very sophomoric humor thing. Anyhow, there has been a lot of publicity for this movie.
Yeah. But again, it's kind of a reboot of an old concept. It's not new. There is new movies. Like, it's not, there is new comedy movies here and there. There was some spy comedy with, now I'm blanking on her name. Suki from Gilmore Girls. What's her name?
Melissa McCarthy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think there was a spy comedy, for example. Apple TV Plus did a movie, Argyle. That was kind of like that.
I enjoyed it. I think I would have been disappointed seeing it in a theater.
Yeah.
But watching it at home on my couch, I thought it was a fun movie. Yeah.
So
that's another interesting thing.
Mm-hmm.
How we consume that content plays a role in how we enjoy it or not.
Yeah, it is so different. Yeah. But yeah, so what is our conclusion? Comedy and funny things are still around, but sitcoms are not. Right?
Sitcoms in the form that they have traditionally taken are not.
Yeah, I would say no. Sitcoms are not. Period. There is comedy still, and there's other stuff, but it's not sitcoms.
You know, I'm still having a hard time classifying Simpsons as a sitcom.
Okay.
Even though it's on the list as a sitcom.
Yeah. Could probably debate that, yes. But
all right.
But if we remove Simpsons and say, okay, Simpsons doesn't count. I don't think sitcoms, I mean, I don't see anything akin to a sitcom on YouTube or on TikTok or anything like that. Because that
I will agree with
format,
that.
Yep. That format of a sitcom doesn't work in that short form or in that medium and how we watch things these days. It's okay. It also can come back. Like, who knows? Maybe in a couple of years we'll be like, there will be an explosion of new sitcoms and all of a sudden, I mean, you know, stuff goes through phases and like sometimes it's popular and then kind of gets overdone and then people don't want it anymore and it disappears. And I think that's probably also part of it, what's happening. We had so many sitcoms in the 90s and 2000s. I think people were kind of fed up with it, had enough. Actually, I just remembered one sitcom that still exists, but again, it's kind of a continuation. Tim Allen, one of, honestly, my favorite sitcoms of all time, Home Improvement.
Home Improvement, yeah.
He did two follow-on shows now. Last Man Standing and what was the other one? Now I'm blanking. See, I'm so bad with names. It's not Fair Game. But
sorry, I haven't seen anything from either of the follow-up shows.
Yeah, but I love them. But they are catering to me, basically. To me and people like me who loved him in previous stuff. He's basically doing the same show, just with like slightly adjusted casts.
Okay, topics. So it's like, this character, we want you to play this character. We'll give it a different name, but you're playing Tim the Tool Man Taylor.
Kind of, yeah. I mean, in Last Man Standing, he was a tool salesman again. And he was a head of marketing for like a big hardware store chain. And had the family of all girls, for example, and compared to all boys. And in the current one, he owns a garage, kind of a detailing whatever shop. But he still has like a family and interesting, has a grandson and whatever. So it's kind of, yeah, you're right. He's kind of playing the same character, but that is actually, as I said, that would be something that is happening today, But again, it's more catering to the people who love the old show and are kind of want to watch more of it.
So, as you've been talking, you triggered a couple memories for mm-hmm. me. And I think I hit that transition phase where sitcom-ish content was trying to find a place in the streaming world, mm-hmm. and ultimately, while we had successes, it didn't pan out as an industry. For mm-hmm. example, we had The Guild.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. Shifting Gears, by the way, was the Tim Allen show I was looking for.
Okay.
I'll try to put the link in the chat.
Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog. There was another one where it was the same groups mm-hmm. of people that were involved in various ways with the Guild and Dr. Horrible, and they did a comedy series mm-hmm. that was kind of sitcom-y, but it was like sort of like sketch comedy where mm-hmm. they had recurring segments.
Yeah.
So it would be more like what you would get on like Mad TV or Saturday Night Live with recurring segments and characters.
Yeah. So I mean that is actually right. That is a different genre. The sketch comedy. The Saturday Night Lives or the Little Britons and stuff, like all of that. Mm-hmm. The Mr. Bean, like all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but even those, I mean, how many, other than SNL, how many sketch comedy shows do we have? Probably some on TikTok and on YouTube still. But it's still like, not as big. Like
mainstream TV.
Even mainstream streaming.
The first was SNL, mm-hmm. and I feel like it's the last one standing.
Yeah.
And all the others that came along, they've all disappeared.
Yeah. Yeah, I said, I'm thinking, I mean, as I said, there is probably tons of sketch comedy content on YouTube and on TikTok and on Instagram. But let's say mainstream anything TV, streaming or still linear. Other than SNL, nothing comes to mind.
Same.
Interesting.
Yeah. Hey, Patrice.
Mm-hmm.
We should probably talk about the live chat.
Yes.
That we really haven't dropped much into today because
we've
just been going. You did.
Yes.
And I appreciate that. We've been going fast and furious with what we've been discussing. And I realized I haven't put anything in the live chat. But where could people find that?
Yeah. I mean, I barely kept up. I think I put like maybe 1% of what we talked about into the chat. But I did put in Shifting Gears and Last Man Standing for you. Where can people find what we talked about? So we have a live stream that right now, as we're recording this, is running and people can talk to us. And I saw Ben Gilliam, in the chat earlier. And you can talk to us, 7 p.m. UK time. That's when we record this very show. And we do also the back show on Fridays, also doing Summer of Fun, different topics, of course. Fridays, 4 p.m. UK time. And all you do is head over to live.britishtechnetwork.com and that's it. You're in. You can see our beautiful faces and the nice night sky of the background. By the way, it looked exactly like that outside earlier. And I don't know why I was now whispering, but I was excited about this.
You were sharing a really cool secret.
I think so, yeah. Yeah, anyway, there's a chat right next to it. Like, no registration, nothing. You get assigned really cool names, like Tender Ellen, for example. We had a Tender Ellen. We had the Elastic Wilds. We had
Determined Schwartz.
Serene Yonef. We had a lot of... And that triggers
Elastic Wilds.
Elastic Wilds, yes. Determined Schwartz, yes. We had some really cool names there that get auto-generated. You can change them. Up top, purple button, click it, tap it, change name. That's it. But if you want to get to the few links that we posted for this show or any other show, we have a transcript that goes back a long time, 10 years at this point, over 10 years. Wow. 2015, I think, yeah, was the first time we had this system. So until then, nothing was saved. But afterwards, we have basically, I think, maybe with some exceptions where we had some outages, all chats, they all get saved into britishtechnetwork.com/chat. If you go there, you will have to select a date. And if you select today's date, which is July 31st, 2025, you will find everything we talked about.
That's awesome. Cool one.
And I will throw my perplexity thread into that.
Oh, that sounds great. I just tossed a link into the list of current sitcoms mm-hmm. that I found, and it's from ranker.com.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Lanker, as opposed
not Rankin.
To, or Rancor.
Also good. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. We should mention, by the way, we have a sponsor for this show.
We should do that. Oh no, wait. Patrice, we have a sponsor?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Yeah, I mean we have rtechnologies.co.uk that is sponsoring us, like the servers we run everything off of. Really cool company for construction site monitoring. So if you need especially environmental monitoring, but also video and so on, like, I don't know, what were they doing recently? They were redoing a section of train tracks from an old heritage train line in the UK.
I saw a video.
That was really cool. So basically, I mean, they had like multiple cameras up, the Sentry cameras, and they monitor air quality, sound levels, temperatures, I think vibrations, as far as I remember, and the video, of course. You can basically grab all of that and then monitor your environmental impact, your efficiency. You can with the videos, you can analyze it and see where you could maybe be faster or better, or all of that. It's a really cool company. They've won a couple awards. They're doing a lot of train construction sites, but I can absolutely 100% see also other kinds of construction sites. That they would be perfect for, or if, I don't know, Austria wants to hire them to come here, or mm-hmm. I don't know, some other country. I do recommend them. So all technologies, awetechnologies.co.uk, reach out to them. And thank you for sponsoring us.
Yeah, thank you, all technologies. Yeah. Patrice, I feel like we either stop now or we go for 3 more hours.
Yes.
So,
and since we want to do another show, we should do that.
Right. We should do that. So, how about instead of continuing on, I say, mm-hmm. where can people find you?
Well, with you every week or almost every week here on the Big Show on Thursdays and the Mac Show on Fridays. Sometimes I'm traveling or I'm having flying lessons and then I can't, but most of the time I'm here. Everything I'm doing, you can find on my website, thepatrice.com, projects, podcasts, literally everything. And with you, Jeff, I have a really cool podcast that we're about to record another episode after this one. I'm very excited. Mm-hmm. Retro Rewatch. So we love talking about TV shows. Right now, we're actually doing more sci-fi. So maybe that's also the reason why I said no sci-fi.
I thought that was a great restriction.
Yes.
That was really smart coming up with that idea.
Yeah, I mean, we still talked a little here and there, but not a lot. Retro Rewatch, retro TV shows. We watch from the, late 90s, early 2000s right now, Stargate SG-1, where we basically finished season 2. And as far as I know, we're about to drop the first episode of season 1. I hope I remember that. Of season 3, yes. Of season 3. Yes, season 1, of course. No, I was kind of wondering if that is even correct, because of course I don't remember which episode we just posted. That would have been too easy. We might actually have already dropped the first one, and then it would be the second one. So yeah, but it's a really cool show. There is one more coming. That is the prediction episode. Oh, Jeff's great. Predictions. Yeah, we just dropped last week the Gilmore Girls episode. So not sci-fi, which was a really great thing we did. I love that we veered off the beaten path of sci-fi shows and were like, let's watch something completely different, the opposite almost. Some girls talking, women talking, very fast, with a lot of coffee.
Mm-hmm. And it turns out that I overanalyze Gilmore Girls in the exact same way I overanalyze yes. Stargate SG-1.
Yeah, and you also never get the plant in the right order.
At least I'm on brand.
Yeah, you're definitely on brand. So yeah, the predictions for season 3 and beyond are coming up tomorrow, probably. So go watch that, because that is hilarious. If you know Stargate SG-1, that is hilarious. If you don't, then, well, stay tuned. You will figure it out with us together whether any of it was correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you don't know Stargate SG-1, then you'll listen to my predictions, and you'll probably say things like, that sounds really interesting. Like, that's where they could be going.
Yeah.
And then we will find out together
how
wrong I am.
How wrong you are. Maybe you were wrong. Maybe you were right. Maybe we're just off in time. We'll see.
Well, I am really good at getting things in the wrong order.
That is true. Yes, that is true. So yeah, Retro Rewatch, that's the show. How about you, Jeff?
Well, on social media, I'm Jay Gamut pretty much everywhere. And I'm active on Mastodon and Blue Sky and PixelFed right now. Then for shows, you've already mentioned The Big Show and The Max Show and Retro Rewatch. So I will add in Tuesdays on Chuck Joyner's Mac Voices Live, Thursdays on Dave Ginsberg's In Touch with iOS, and then also Brian Chaffin and I do The Context Machine. So with that, Patrice, even when it's just the two of us, or maybe because it's just the two of us, it feels like it's a special episode.
It is.
And this was a lot of fun, and I'm glad that you came up with this topic idea. I cannot take credit at all for the topic idea. This was all you. So nicely done.
That was kind of obvious for us.
But it was. However, it took you to point out the obvious, because I would have just been still wandering around going, I don't know. Funny stuff. Maybe we should do Red Dwarf or something like that. Anyhow. So thank you for putting a smile on my face. This has been a great way to brighten up my Thursday. I was already having a nice day, but now it's great. So thank you for that. Hey, everyone that's watching and listening live, thank you for being here and being a part of this. Mm-hmm. All of you that watch or listen to the show recordings later, thank you for being part of the show as well. Hey, Ewan, thank you for being you. Muller, thanks for making sure we have people for shows. Aw, thank you for being our sponsor. And with that, I will remind everyone to join us tomorrow for the Max Show, Summer of Fun. And then come back again next week for the Big Show, Summer of Fun, on Thursday. And everyone, have an awesome weekend.